Saram, dear listeners, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, wishing you all a very good evening. Usually around 7:30, I join you all for the Radio Sai answering booth. But this week, there's going to be a slight change. I'm going to play for you a talk. Well, all through the day, we have very serious discussions about Swami's message, and rightly so. We all need to spend a lot of time thinking about Swami's profound message. I think that's what we do, at least we try to do in different segments of the day, starting from the morning and the afternoon. I join you with the afternoon satsang, and of course the evening is packed. Apart from the little reprieve that you get during the bhajan tutor, I guess the last two segments are pretty theme heavy. So for a change, I'm going to play for you a talk that I had the opportunity to deliver a couple of years ago. And it's on a very interesting topic. I think a topic which is very enchanting and all of us would love to relive and re-listen as many times as we can. Because this is a topic on Sai humor. How beautifully Swami taught us profound messages through his inimical style and humorous style. That's what this talk is all about. The title of the talk is Living with Swami is Real Fun. And I've shared some stories that I've heard from my classmates, my friends, my seniors and my teachers. And these are stories that we always love to relate and love to listen from all of the elders who had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with Swami too. So I hope that you'll all enjoy the next 60 minutes. This talk is a very, very light-hearted talk. Of course, nothing that is associated with Swami comes without a profound message. So I'm sure that there are lessons to learn even from these little humorous incidents that are narrated in this talk. So over now to that talk, which I delivered a couple of years back. The title of the talk again is Living with Swami is Real Fun. In essence, it is a talk on Sai humor. I'll join you all next week, Thursday 7:30, for the next episode of Radio Sai Answering Booth. So it's a small break for me and for all of you, but I'm sure you'll enjoy the next 60 minutes reliving the wonderful times of being in Swami's presence. Happy listening. Offering my most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. As always, I pray to Bhagwan that he gives us all the understanding that he alone is the one who speaks, he alone is the one who listens. This was an incident which was shared by one of my seniors. It happened in a gathering of students, and Swami was very casually just walking amongst the students, moving around. And there was one of the lecturers who was walking along with Swami. So every now and then Swami would stop and point at one boy and ask, "How's this boy?" And then the lecturer would say, "Swami, he's a good boy, he studies well, very well behaved." Then again randomly pick up another boy and ask, "How's that boy?" So he said, "Swami, he's improving in studies, he works hard." So Swami was picking up people like this randomly, and finally Swami came to one boy. This was a Gujarati boy. So this boy was sitting a few rows away, and this lecturer was standing next to Swami. Swami looked at this boy, and Swami asked the lecturer, "How's this boy?" And before this lecturer could say anything, Swami whispered in Telugu, "Manchi abbai ledani cheppu." Swami whispered in Telugu saying, "Tell that he's not a good boy." So this lecturer very obediently said, "Swami, he's not a good boy." And this boy was shocked. Because this lecturer who is telling Swami who is a good boy, who is not a good boy, this boy happened to be this lecturer's favorite student. His own lecturer, and he's saying that he's not a good boy. So this boy starts sweating. Then Swami looks at this lecturer and says, "Why do you say he's not a good boy?" And Swami whispers in Telugu, "Baga chadavatam ledani cheppu." Swami whispers in Telugu saying that, "Tell that he does not study well." So this lecturer parrots, "Swami, he does not study well." And this boy is now palpitating, because he's the topper of the class. And that's precisely why he's the favorite student of this lecturer. And this lecturer is telling Swami, he doesn't know what is transpiring between the two of them.
And this lecturer is telling Swami that Swami, he doesn't study well. And Swami looked at this boy very sternly. He says, why is it that you don't study well? And then Swami asks, boy, what rank do you get in your class? And this boy is perplexed. He gets up and he says, Swami, I got the first rank. And Swami looks at this lecturer and says, he got the first rank and you're telling that he doesn't study well. And then Swami whispers again in Telugu, exam lo copy chestunnadu ani cheppu. Swami whispers in Telugu, Swami says, tell that he copies in the exam and gets first rank. And this lecturer keeps a very straight face and tells Swami, I think he copies in the exam and gets the first rank. And this boy's heart is out of its cavity now. He's like, what's happening here? You know, I am the topper of the class and I have no decorum issues with the warden or anybody else. And this lecturer is saying, I'm a bad boy, I don't study well. And on top of it, he says, I copy in my exam and get the first rank. So Swami was getting sterner and sterner. This boy didn't know what was happening. So till then, Swami was looking at this boy and talking all this. When this lecturer said, Swami, I think he copies in the exam and gets first rank, Swami turns to this lecturer. If that boy is copying, what are all of you doing? What are all you lecturers doing? You know, many times when we come and talk here, especially people like me, a statement which we often say and which is in a sense the bedrock of whatever we speak here is that living with Swami is true education, right? Because it's a long drawn process of learning. You learn every day. It's ceaseless learning. That is why it said living with God is true education. But the problem is when you say this, and when we all come here in the pretext of people who have chosen to be with Swami, it does appear like we are very serious people, isn't it? At least as though we all stayed with Swami only because we were very serious about spirituality. But the fact is, it's not true. One of the main reasons why people like me stayed back was, living with Swami was not only true education, living with Swami was real fun. Let us face it, it was real fun living with Swami. And as youngsters, as youth, as Swami would many times say this, you know, there are two characteristics of youngsters. One is youngsters like to have fun. Right, you know, that's why you see youngsters all over the place, in theaters, in malls, in amusement parks, everywhere. Because youngsters like to have fun. And the second thing is, youngsters have a spark for idealism. And that is why in any movement, in any revolution, in any change, you would see that the youngsters, the youth, are the forerunners of that movement. Because these are two broad categories or two broad qualities that youth generally have. They like to have a good fun and they are inspired by idealism. And in many ways, I feel Swami was an object of both these qualities. Because living with Swami was true fun, at the same time, not without the process of learning. I remember when I first joined Swami's college and we had Swami's darshan. Swami was in the Ramesh Hall. Swami is only 5 feet 3 inches, but he used to look like he's 7 feet tall. Because that's how he carried himself, that dignity, that grace. One look at Swami, you felt that he was not part of us. No, he was somebody else. He was something ethereal, something heavenly. The way he used to walk, the way he used to softly speak, that smile and that look, everything was so superhuman. But that same very day, we go into Trai Vrindavan, which is Swami's residence in Vrindavan. And Swami walks out, and he walks out with mischief just bulging out of his eyes. You know, a smile which says, whose leg shall I pull now? That's how Swami was. And it immediately struck all of us that the closer you get to Swami, the more fun you can have with Swami. Yes, idealism was always there. Yes, the spiritual aspect was there, which may be caught up later, but as youngsters, we felt that it is so much fun being with Swami. And many times when you see from far, it looks like it's a moment of profundity, but maybe a moment of fun. Many years ago, I think once Swami made a trip to the hostel, which he used to make very often. So whenever Swami would come to the hostel, they would plan out certain things, like there would be a lot of things pending. Like suppose the kitchen has been renovated, they would invite Swami into the kitchen to have a look. If a new room had been made, an altar room, they would invite Swami to come and have a look. So that particular visit, they had either set up for the first time or renovated, I'm not sure, the hostel stores, you know, that particular room where they would bring things from the mandir stores and sell it for the boys in the hostel for their convenience. So they invited Swami to this storeroom. They said, Swami, please come. So they had planned that usually when Swami comes to the hostel, he is always short of time. So when Swami is leaving, they would invite Swami to the hostel stores. And it would be very special because only those boys who are working in that stores will have the opportunity to stay inside that room with Swami. So given the time constraint, they all decided that, look, we cannot take too much of time. We'll do it quickly. If Swami gives the opportunity to take Pad Namaskar, let's all do it quickly. Otherwise, some of us might lose the opportunity. And let's not get into any personal dialogue with Swami and, lest the others lose the chance. Of course, if Swami himself starts a conversation, that's completely different. So then the aarti was over, Swami's visit to the hostel was coming to an end, and Swami comes into the stores. So Swami looks around very quickly, blesses all the things, and then one of the boys says, Swami, can we take Pad Namaskar? So Swami says, Cheskondi, I have no time, I have to leave. Quickly, Swami says. So the first boy goes down and takes Pad Namaskar. And the others are waiting. This boy doesn't get up. And they say, what is this? We had a pact that nobody will take more than a couple of seconds. This boy seems to be lost in ecstasy. And Swami also is not moving. Swami is staying put. And Swami is not saying anything. And this boy is taking his own sweet time, which appeared like a long period in eternity. Then there are whispers and there are nudges, but this boy is not getting up. He is lost in that moment, taking Pad Namaskar. Then finally this boy gets up. His eyes are red, filled with tears. His face is red and almost swollen. You can make out that, he's been very emotional in that moment when he's taking Pad Namaskar. The others were, come on man, this is not the moment for that. This is not the time for you to become emotional and all that. And others would have missed the chance, but luckily Swami said, all of you take Pad Namaskar. Everybody then did a quick round, couple of seconds, and Swami walks off. And then they come to this boy and catch him and he says, this is not right. We all ran the risk of missing the chance of taking Swami's Pad Namaskar. Why did you take so long? Why should you become emotional today? And he said, emotional? Me? You have no idea what happened. Because he says, when I bent down to take Swami's Pad Namaskar, Swami caught my nose with his two toes. And he wouldn't let go. I was trying to pull myself out and Swami was not letting me go. And that's why my nose was red and my eyes were full of tears. It was not because it was a moment of bliss or anything. So many times when you see, it looks like some Brahmapadesh is happening, some transfer of energy is happening, but actually Swami is having a lovely fun moment and just capturing you. I remember the person who was in charge of the kitchen in the senior boys hostel, he still is there. He's been there for many, many years. The first day when Swami called him and appointed him as the caretaker of the kitchen, and Swami specifically told, I want you to take care of the 8th standard boys. Because that time the hostel had students from 8th standard to PhD. So Swami appointed him only to take care of the 8th standard kids because they were the tiniest ones in the hostel. The day he was supposed to take charge, Swami comes out of the interview room and Swami calls him, and in that part where Swami is just outside Swami's interview room door, just in front of the ladies' block, Swami calls him and speaks to him for 45 minutes. And this man, brought up in a very traditional South Indian family, he's all the time like this. And Swami is bending close to his ear and whispering something. And this dialogue is going on for 45 minutes and everybody in the audience is thinking, what a blessed soul. What upadesh is he getting? Is Swami explaining some Gita? Is Swami explaining some Brahma Sutra? What is happening? At the end of it, what did Swami tell him? Swami gave him instructions how many times in a week a towel has to be washed, how often the bed sheet should be washed, how often the pillow covers should be washed, how to teach the children to cut their own nails. 45 minutes. You know, that was our Swami. Because at no time anything was too small or too trivial because I am the avatar, I can't do this. And that's the fun part of Swami, and he would lose no opportunity to pull a quick trick. Some of my seniors who had this opportunity to stay in Swami's residence, they would have many things like this to narrate. Once what happened was, Swami had gone for darshan, and that few hours that Swami was out for darshan, that was the only time they get to clean Swami's room, clean Swami's residence, and whatever maintenance work had to be done in that short time. So one day they decided that they want to clean the lift. You know, there's a lift inside, I think the Purnachandra auditorium to reach Swami's room. So they decided that they're going to clean the lift. So they kept everything ready. The moment Swami went for darshan, they started it. What they did, they raised the lift and they put it in one of the floors, and then they opened the gates. So one of the boys said, I'm going to go inside and I'm going to sweep in that cavity of that lift. So he told the other boy, you stay outside and ensure nobody switches on the lift. Because when he's doing the work, somebody switches on the lift and it could be disaster. So that was the scene. One boy is inside the lift cleaning, and the other boy is standing next to the switch to ensure nobody switches on, and it's going on. And suddenly Swami comes in. And Swami sees. And Swami sees one look, Swami knows what's happening. Swami looks at this boy and he says, hey, switch on the lift. So he says, no, Swami, I can't, this boy is there, hey. And Swami makes big eyes and stern look, and he says, hey, switch on the lift. So can't do anything, Swami's command. So he switches on the lift, in barely 2 seconds, Swami says, switch off. So it's just a jerk, switch on, switch off, and the lift has gone dunk-dunk. This boy who's sweeping inside gets a shock. He says, he thinks that suddenly the lift is going to come on him. And he climbs out of that cavity and comes out to give a mouthful to whoever has done that. And imagine the scene, he comes out of that cavity, the first person he sees is Swami is right in front of him. Okay, he can't see the boy is to the side. And he comes out with full anger like that, and Swami is standing there. Swami says, Swami makes me say, no, not me, that boy. How do you describe a Lord who's so sweet? Another time, and the same brother was sharing with us that once Swami had asked for some bananas to be bought. Swami wanted to distribute bananas. I think it must have been the sports meet season or something like that. So Swami called one of these boys and Swami said, hey, just go and place an order and get 2,000 bananas. So the order was placed, the bananas were got. So the next day Swami came and distributed the bananas, and suddenly Swami remembered, hey, I asked you to order the bananas but I didn't give you the money. So how much did it cost? So this boy, very politely he said, Swami, why do you have to give me the money? I mean, whatever I have is yours. Swami said, no, not like that. Tell me, how much did you spend? And Swami picked up an envelope and he was counting the money. And this boy said, no, Swami. And, suddenly he said, Swami, I left something in the kitchen. He ran away. Because he didn't want to take the money. He just found an escape and he ran away. And the next 2 days, Swami kept asking him, how much did you spend? How much did you spend? I have to give you that money. So every time this boy would escape. And there was one practice in Swami's residence inside. When Swami comes out to go for darshan, and this was something which Swami had told the students in Kodaikanal. Swami used to keep cracking jokes and making all this fun. And Swami had told them, see, I'm like this with all of you, but the moment I go for darshan, something comes like that. Some divinity dawns like that. Swami himself is describing. Something comes on me. I'm different when I go out. And they would really see that when Swami would be stepping out for darshan, Swami would become very silent and Swami would become very thoughtful and he would not talk much. So many times when Swami is just about to leave for darshan, if any last minute instructions are there, like sometimes, somebody would have given a check to Swami or somebody would have given a request letter, that would have to be passed on to the right person. So when Swami is going out, Swami will put out the envelope and Swami would say, give this to the Central Trust or give this to Chakravarti Sir or something like that. Swami would give instructions just before he goes out for darshan. So that day Swami came and this boy was standing next to Swami. And Swami held out this envelope and Swami said, hey, idi tisko poi, no, take this. So this boy came running and he said, yes, Swami. Swami said, you take this and keep it with yourself. And Swami walked off. And the other boys are seeing Swami is like a child. Ichesanu, ichesanu, ichesanu. I gave it to him, I gave it to him. I managed to give it to him. And he was so childlike. But what is it, what happens when you're divine, you know? Swami's added advantage is he's also divine. Because when you're divine, your canvas of play becomes massive. When you can do things which others cannot do, your pranks become more profound. One of the devotees who came to Swami in the 1960s, he was one of those people who took Swami to Kodaikanal for the first time. Swami went for the first time to Kodaikanal in the 1960s. Many years later, Swami would describe this to us when we were students. Swami took a handkerchief and put it around his head and Swami said, I went like this because it was very cold. I took a scarf and I was sitting in the car and all the local people came and started looking into the car. They said, Vaijayanti Mala has come, Vaijayanti Mala has come. And Swami would blush. Swami would say, I look so pretty, what to do? So this was that first trip when Swami had gone to Kodaikanal. Imagine a Kodai trip, only 3 or 4 of them were there. Swami, this person who had taken Swami along in the car, and 2 or 3 others. So Swami was living in Kodaikanal like the most free person on earth. Because Swami said that he even went for shopping on the roads in Kodaikanal with all these people because nobody knew Swami there. So Swami was really free. Swami was spending a time with all these people and having a lot of fun. One day, one devotee came from the city of Madurai. Somehow he got the scent that Swami is here. And one devotee lands up to this place where Swami is staying, some guest house. And then Swami says, over now. Devotee has got to know. Now all of them will come. Let's start back. So this sometime in the evening, Swami says, let's start right now. So this devotee whose car Swami has come in, he says, Swami, right now, then I'll have to drive the whole night. I'll have to keep awake and drive the whole night. Swami says, yes, yes, let's go, let's go. Straight, we'll start from Kodai straight to Vrindavan. 8 hours journey over the night. And he said, Swami, I cannot travel. I mean, you should have told me one day before. I would have slept a little, so I could have, you know, managed this overnight trip. Swami said, nothing doing. Let's start immediately, right now. And doesn't allow him, and no arguments. Packs the bag, gets into the car, and starts off. So late into the night, dark roads, ghat roads, nobody there. And this man is sitting on the wheel and dozing, because he's not slept. He's woken up early in the morning that day. And even then he keeps pleading, Swami, let's stop somewhere and take a small nap and then we'll continue. Swami said, nothing doing, non-stop, we go reach Vrindavan. By 5 in the morning, I want to be in Vrindavan. Morning darshan, I want to give in Vrindavan. So this person requests, then Swami doesn't agree. And finally at one particular curve, he really falls asleep and he has lost control of the wheel and is about to fall off the road. Somehow manages, screeches and comes to halt. He said, Swami, nothing doing. Now I'm not going to listen to you. I have to sleep. Swami says, no, I want to go to Vrindavan. This devotee says, nothing doing, Swami. I cannot drive you into some ditch. I'm going to sleep now. You will leave me alone for 1 hour. After 1 hour, we'll get up and we'll drive. And Swami is helpless. Swami says, okay, sleep. So this devotee, just in the front seat, goes to sleep. Barely 2 minutes, I mean, it's fully forested area, forest on both sides of the road. He finds something slithering on his feet. A snake. And the moment he feels that, he just jumps up and wakes up and he's jumping on the seat. He said, Swami, Swami. And Swami also, hey, what happened? He said, Swami, there's a snake. And immediately what they do, they open the doors and they bang the door. They say, Swami tells that bang, the snake will run away. But they see and the snake doesn't go away. Swami tells him, see, that's why I told you, let's not stop here. See, it's such a thick forest. Let's drive off, come. And then this devotee says, Swami, but that snake is there. How do I drive? It's still in the car. And Swami says, no problem, I am there, I'll take care of you, come. Let's start. So this devotee is driving the car, every now and then putting his leg down and pulling it up, putting his leg down and pulling it up, wondering when that snake will again come and slither around his feet. And non-stop they drive, reach Vrindavan, Swami gets down and goes off into the old mandir. And this devotee is not getting sleep because he's seen a snake in his car. So he pulls out all the seats and he's pulling out all the mats and looking for that snake. And after some time, Swami comes down and Swami says, "What are you looking for?" So he says, "Swami, that snake has still not come out. I have to make sure that it comes out." Swami says, "What snake?" He said, "Swami, that snake which was there in the car when we started." Swami said, "You will not come, otherwise that's why I got that snake. There is no snake. See, after that you never got sleep, right? You could drive without sleeping." Now that's what Swami can do, because Swami is not like you and me. His pranks can, you know, there is more freedom for that prank. But nevertheless, Swami would, you know, absolutely behave human sometimes. And that is also part of the fun. Because in this very Kodai trip, this devotee was saying that there was Swami and this devotee. They had taken one cook along, because Swami, somebody had to cook for all of them. And there was another devotee who was, I think throughout this talk I'll try as much not to mention names, because let's just take the stories and let's forget the names. So there was this other devotee who was serving Swami in Prashanti Nilayam. He was also along. So every day before this cook would start cooking, Swami would go into the kitchen and they would have all these vegetables in sacks. So Swami would go straight to the green chilies and pick up one handful of green chilies, come to the cook, give it to him and says, "Put all this in today's lunch." This person will say, "Swami, so much green chilies." Swami said, "Yes, I like spicy food." And Swami would walk away. And the moment Swami goes, this other devotee would come in and he said, "So many green chilies." He would take away some, throw it back into the sack. And Swami says, "Put this." And that other devotee would say, "Only put this much." And then Swami would come. In the first morsel, Swami would say, "You didn't put all the chilies I gave you." So you can't blame the other devotee. And that other devotee is standing behind Swami saying, "Don't tell my name. Don't tell I've done it." So Swami says, "Okay, today I spare you, tomorrow you better put." So that day's lunch is over. Next day again Swami walks into the kitchen, again picks up a handful of green chilies, gives it to the cook and says, "Put all this." Again Swami goes out, the other devotee comes in, takes back all the chilies, puts it back. He says, "Don't put, otherwise the rest of the trip all of us will be only in the toilet. We can't do any sightseeing." Again Swami comes for lunch, again eats one morsel and then throws it down and says, "You didn't put all the chilies I gave you." Again this devotee standing behind Swami is saying, "Don't tell my name." So the cook gets the blastings. Then the third day the same scene repeats again. So this time Swami gets very, very upset. Swami says, "Okay, if you all want to cook for your own taste, then why are you calling me for lunch? You cook for yourself, I don't want your lunch." And Swami walks out of the dining hall. And what does he do? He walks out. And in the garden there is this artificial landscape which is made. They've made a small step-like thing on which there is a waterfall. Swami goes and sits on that step, water flowing all around him, in full anger, red in face, without talking to anybody, with a, you know, round face, is sitting down. Then one after the other, all devotees come and say, "Swami, please come, please come, please don't be upset." Then finally they say, "Swami, from tomorrow we'll put as many chilies as you want. If you want, we'll put little more also." Then finally Swami says, "You should put. You should not remove even one chili. Only then I will come." She says, "Okay, Swami." And needless to say, from the next day, as many chilies as Swami wanted was there in the lunch. And a considerable amount of the time of these devotees was spent in the toilet. Because all of them had an upset stomach. Nevertheless, most of the time, even the pranks was always to teach a very profound lesson, isn't it? Yes, he was full of fun. Yes, he was making all these jokes. He was, every opportunity he had, he was making us laugh. We were here to learn something very, very profound. And we had to remember time and again whose presence we were in. Lest we forget whose divine presence we were all living in. One Swami was traveling somewhere in Andhra Pradesh. And during the travel, Swami had a stopover. And the stopover was in the town of Tirupati. For those of you who are familiar, there are two distinct Tirupatis, the Upper Tirupati and the Lower Tirupati. And the main temple is in the Upper Tirupati. So Swami had a stopover in the Lower Tirupati. So Swami and these three devotees, one devotee who was Swami's host, and these other devotees Swami had taken from Puttaparthi. So these Puttaparthi devotees are always with Swami, right? They hardly get to travel anywhere. They hardly make any pilgrimages unless it's with Swami. So they thought that we have come all the way to Tirupati. Let us go and have the darshan of Venkateshwara. So Swami was sitting in his room and Swami was reading some newspaper or a magazine or whatever. And these three devotees come and stand in front of Swami. They come and stand silently. Swami looks up, "Auntie, what happened? All three of you have come." And they say, "Swami, this is Tirupati." "Yes, I know. Swami Venkateshwara is here." "Okay. Swami permits, we'll go have darshan and come." And Swami says, "What, Venkateshwara darshan, you want to go?" He said, "Yes, Swami, all the way to Tirupati." Swami says, "Venkateshwara is sitting in front of you. What Venkateshwara you want to go and see?" "Yes, we understand that, but Venkateshwara is Venkateshwara. Swami we see all the day. We are travelling with Swami, but Venkateshwara, Tirupati Venkateshwara is very special. The richest God in the world, right? How can you miss him?" So they say, "Swami, we'll just go and come. If Swami doesn't want to come, Swami can be here. We three will go and come." Swami said, "Okay, veli randi. Nen cheptunnan kada ikkade unnanu ani. I'm telling you I'm here. You won't listen. Okay, go." So all these three devotees come and they decide that we'll walk all the way up because it's even more special. You can bag all the grace which is there to be bagged. Let's not miss any opportunity. So they walk up. They join the other devotees and walk up. And it's a beautiful journey up, very, very scenic, and all of the devotees shouting Govinda, Govinda, and calling out the names of Venkateshwara. They also join in the Sankirtan and the calling out of names. And they go towards the temple. And as you go towards the temple, the tempo of these jaykars and shouts and all that keeps increasing, right? So that fervor and the devotional fervor increase. So they join the line, they go closer and closer to the Sanctum Sanctorum. And finally they come into that place where there is the Sanctum Sanctorum, right in that place where the statue is. And the devotional fervor is at its peak. Everybody, as soon as they see the statue in all its glory, starts shouting, "Govinda Venkateshwara, Govinda Venkateshwara," and everybody shouting and putting up their hands and, you know, all that expression of devotion. These three devotees are standing there dumb. They look at each other, look around, everybody shouting, "Govinda, Govinda." They both are blank. These three are blank. Then silently one of them asks, "Are you able to see anything?" And the other person says, "No, sir, even I am not able to see anything." Because they go all the way to the Sanctum Sanctorum and the statue is not there. Everybody in that Sanctum Sanctorum is shouting, "Govinda, Govinda," because they are seeing the statue. But these three are not able to see the statue. There is empty space there. The lamps are there, the decorations are there, the pujari is there, all that is offered in front of the deity is there. But the deity is not there. Where is Venkateshwara? And they look at each other and, you know, you can't do anything. So just bow down and they come away. Silently come back to the bungalow where Swami is staying. None of them make any noises. Silently go and carry on their work. And then Swami comes. "Inti, baga darshan ayinda? What happened? Did you have good darshan? Nice darshan?" "Yes, Swami, very, very nice darshan." The devotee, "Yes, Swami, very nice darshan." Then Swami says, "Chepte vinaru. If I tell you, you don't listen. That Venkateshwara is here." And then they say, "Yes, Swami, we understand. You know, we knew it, but we now really understand what it means." Swami says, "Ayo papam. Okay, go now and have darshan and come." He says, "No, no, Swami, now we know you are Venkateshwara. We don't want to go. Hey, Tirupati, you've come to Tirupati. You have to go have Venkateshwara darshan." So they say, "No, no, Swami, enough. One darshan is enough." Swami says, "Nothing doing. You had the desire, go have darshan and come." Then again sends the three of them. This time they go and nevertheless, they do have the darshan of the statue of Venkateshwara and come back. Never misses to inject that message, doesn't he? Once in Kodaikanal, this would happen very often. You know, to be instantly liked by Swami, you have to be in any one of the extremes. You should be very short or you should be very tall. You should be very, very fat. You know, one of these extremes, because instantly, I think that mischievous part of Swami would quickly awaken, you know, awaken the moment he sees something like that. The moment he sees a fat fellow, ah, pakoda, you know, there would be a twinkle in Swami's eye. The moment he sees a tall fellow, ah, coconut tree, camel, giraffe, something like that. So very often, Swami would get up, and Swami would call all these short fellows, and make them stand next to Swami, and Swami say, who's taller? Chepandi, who's taller? Now that's a catch question, because you have to tell Swami what pleases Swami. No, but what Swami is expecting, what is the answer Swami is expecting? So you should either say that Swami, you are taller than him, maybe Swami will feel happy. Or you should, you know, but what is the answer which Swami is expecting? So these boys were, you know, trying to be a little more diplomatic. See, Swami, actually he is taller, but with your hair you make up Swami. No, with your hair you are taller than him. And then some boys assertively said, no, Swami, you are definitely taller than him. And that boy happened to be the shortest boy in the group. So Swami is asking, tell properly. And making him stand closer, and Swami is showing, tell who's shorter. Then finally they all decide, yes Swami, you are taller. You are taller than him. Because you would see there is a very, very sweet photograph. I think it's there in Loving God. Professor Kasturi and Swami, I think for the book, Swami wanted to take a photograph with Kasturi. Kasturi is definitely taller than Swami, right? So what does Swami do? In that portico, that first step, Swami stands on the first step, makes Kasturi stand on the lower step, and Swami puts his robe down to cover his feet. It looks like Swami and Kasturi are the same height. Okay, so boys decide definitely Swami wants to appear taller. So they say, Swami, definitely you're taller than that boy. Swami says, wrong answer. Swami says, I am shorter than him. Why? Swami says, anoraniyam mahatur mahiyam. I am smaller than the smallest, I am taller than the tallest. You know, till then it was just fun. Swami was having a lot of fun, people were laughing. But what a profound message. He never misses that chance to push that message. Swami says, I am shorter, I am smaller, I am tinier than the tiniest, I am larger than the largest. Anoraniyam mahatur mahiyam. Many years ago, we all know, I think this devotee I'll name, there was one Rama Brahmam, who used to be Swami's Vrindavan's caretaker in the early 60s, 70s. Very, very, very great devotee of Swami. This was narrated by him. One day Swami calls him, and Swami is talking to him something, and Swami suddenly pulls out one of his robes. Okay, Swami's robes. And Swami throws it to this devotee, and Swami says, Vesko. Swami says, wear it. Just to give you a picture, this devotee, Rama Brahmam, was a very, very well-built man. He was close to 6 feet, very broad shoulders, a big pot, and he had a head which was like really large. Okay, barren nevertheless, but very, very big. You would see some of his photos, very well-built man, a typical Andhra rural people, they're very well-built and very, very strong, very muscular man. And Swami would be half his height. And Swami takes his robe, and Swami says, Vesko, wear it. He looks at it, he says, Swami, how on earth am I going to fit into this? He says, Swami, my head also will not go inside. Forget the rest of me. Even my head will not go into this robe. Swami says, hey, I am telling you, you will not listen. Wear it. So he says, Swami, impossible. Where do I start? My hand will not go into the sleeve. My head will not go into this neck. And Swami is insisting. Swami says, nothing doing. Wear it. Till you wear, I am not going to leave you. She says, okay, command is a command. Even when making fun, Swami is God. Can't disobey. So finally he struggles and gets into that robe, puts one hand and almost knotted up, tied up into it. Struggles and pulls himself and pushes himself inside. And years later when he was narrating this, he was narrating it with tears in his eyes. Because even as he was struggling into that tiny robe of Swami, he found that he actually fit into that robe. That robe expanded to be a perfect fit for him. He could really wear that robe. Because he said, I realized when Swami gives you a task, He always enables you to accomplish it. By whatever means. The means is in His hand. I mean, that was a confirmation to Him. He said, when Swami gives a task, Swami empowers you, Swami enables you to accomplish that task. Many times when you look at students, when you are a casual observer, people have this mistaken notion that these are all saints, sages, never sway away from discipline and very, very strict and very straightforward. Well, nothing can be farther than the truth. Because end of the day, even boys who came in with that idea were changed by Swami. Because Swami said, this is a time for fun. I'm not going to let you. In fact, there are times when Swami would come to the hostel and give long discourses on why He did not want boys to do meditation. Because these are all boys who would have learnt Jyoti meditation and Pranayama and all that and come. Swami will tell, don't do all that. Just enjoy being with Me. Swami would come and dissuade boys from doing all these kind of intense spiritual sadhana. Sometimes, there are always exceptions in all cases. So there was this one boy who was a little more mischievous than the rest, a little more indisciplined than the rest. But at some time it suddenly pricked him. He said, what a golden opportunity I have of staying with Swami. I need to sometime correct my ways. This cannot go on like this. I need to correct my ways and I need to be a good boy. So one day what does he do? He takes up a piece of paper and he writes in complete detail all the mischief that he has done in the hostel. Every rule that he has broken, everything which he feels that he is eligible to be punished for. Makes a long list and writes to Swami. He says, Swami, I have not been a good boy, I have not been a good Swami student. These are all the things I have done. Swami, I offer all this to You. I give You my word that henceforth I will be a good boy. This boy is in Vrindavan, writes that letter and he sends it by post. And the moment you do that, you feel very light. You've kind of offered all the burden to Swami. And this boy starts leading a good life after that. A couple of days later, maybe something like a week later, somebody comes and tells him, your father has come. He's come to meet you. So this boy is surprised. Father has come. He's supposed to be doing seva and parti as sevadal. What is he doing here? So he comes down and his father is there. And his father is standing in the portico angrily. He's very, very upset. So he walks up to him and says, father, what happened? What a nice surprise. You've come here. And his father says, I'm coming straight from parti. Said, oh nice. Did you have good darshan? Father still not smiling. He says, yes, I even got an interview. He said, then why are you upset? It's such a great thing. You got an interview with Swami. And then his father says, you have no brains? What nonsense do you write to Swami? And this boy says, oh God, Swami, this is not fair. How can you let our secret out? You've told about my letter to my father. This doesn't happen within friends, right? Swami, you've betrayed my trust on you. And his father starts blasting him. Swami, and he said, I got called for the interview, and Swami told me, your son, buddhi ledu, no brains, what nonsense he writes to me in a letter. Veli cheppu atanki, go and tell him to have some sense, what nonsense is he writing to me. And this boy, I think in his mind, all those details which he had written in that letter is running through. What amount of it has been let out? How much does his father know? What is he going to get from his father? And what does his father say? Do you write things like there is no salt in the chutney in your hostel? And then it strikes this boy that Swami was sending a live acknowledgement for the letter without revealing one bit of what was there in that letter. Swami has told his father that your son is writing to me that there is no salt in the chutney which is being served at the hostel. And imagine the thrill that boy felt. because he felt that Swami was sending him an acknowledgement, your letter has been received, thus undersigned by Baba or whatever it is, sends his father his acknowledgement and tells him that I have read your letter and I am consciously not revealing it to your father. What a reinforcement of that friendship with Swami happens. So sometimes the prank is even to send a secret message, isn't it? A secret code of communication. One of my classmates narrated this very, very, very nice story. Before he became a student, he used to come as part of a youth group. And invariably, whenever they would come about twice a year. And whenever they would come, Swami would call them for an interview. One particular year, they came and Swami did not call them for an interview. 3 or 4 days passed, and Swami was not even looking at them. So then these boys said, we need to do something. You know, we need to do something by which Swami gets attracted. So they start doing all kinds of seva in the ashram. They go serve in the canteen, they go clean plates, wash vessels. And then they go to the sheds and wash all the toilets. You know, something which would impress Swami, and Swami would, it would make Swami call them. But nothing seems to work. Swami is not looking at them, Swami is not calling them. So one chap in that group gets a very fine idea. He says, why not we do Satcharitra Parayanam the whole night? You know, after evening darshan, we'll finish our dinner. We'll all sit together. Each one of us will get a Satcharitra book. And in one night, we should finish the whole Satcharitra. We'll keep awake. And the whole night, we'll finish Satcharitra. Because he says, you know, that always works. 7 days, if you do whatever you pray for happens. If you do it overnight, if you do it in one day, you know, super fast delivery, right? If you do it one night, so they say, let's do it. So they all go to Chitravati Road, buy that book, come back. In that night, all of them sit in the corner in the shed where they were all staying. And they start reading this book. Whole night, the whole of them, all of them keep awake. The next day they come early in the morning, 3:30, they join the lines. So they sit in that place, I don't know if all of you know, that that curve which is opposite the old students' block. So when Swami comes for darshan, he would come like that, and take that curve and come in front of the Ganesha and then go to the portico. So they got that curve. So all of them were sitting in that curve. And Swami came out for darshan. Swami came like that and walking through. And in that point where Swami takes that turn, you know, that straight path which leads to the interview room, that point where Swami turns, from the corner of Swami's eyes, Swami sees this group. You know, all these boys are sitting there. And from there, Swami starts shouting. Swami starts showing his hand and, you know, keeps a very, very unpleasant and displeased expression. And Swami says, chi, chi, you fellows, you know, this fellows, that fellows, all that. I mean, you can't make out what Swami is telling, but you can make out that he is very, very upset. So these boys are surprised. And they say, what happened now? Is it that we reading Satcharitra has taken as changing of loyalty? Because sometimes Swami would come and ask, you know, he would come in front of students, whom do you like, young man or old man? You know, that was a trick question. Whom do you like, old man or young man? Because old man means Shirdi Baba, young man means Satya Sai Baba. If you say old man, Swami will apparently get upset. Go to Shirdi then. Why are you coming here? So reading Satcharitra the whole night, has it displeased Swami by any chance? But you know, nobody has told Swami. We have not yet told Swami, right? How does Swami know? Swami came there and Swami was shouting there. You know, these fellows and everybody around were wondering, what have these boys done? So one of the boys in the group come running up to Swami and, you know, to find out what has happened. When he, as he goes close to Swami, he hears Swami saying, whole night you didn't let me sleep. Swami says, what are you fellows doing? Whole night you didn't let me sleep. I had to keep awake because you fellows were reading. And when they went up to Swami, that's when they realized actually Swami was just, you know, in a very, very loving and funny way, Swami was conveying to them that your prayers reached me. Swami said, whole night you didn't allow me to sleep because you all were sitting and reading, keeping awake. I had to keep awake with you. Needless to say, that day they did get the interview. You know, that's the beauty. You know, when do you know when Swami is serious? When do you know when Swami is cracking a joke? But that's the beauty. You know, there is this interesting quote which I read once. It said, God always likes a good joke. God always loves a good joke. And that's precisely why He loves you and me. Because we live our life like we are a big joke. Knowing very well who Swami is, how do we carry ourselves? as students, you know, there are some things which are a strict no-no. You're not supposed to do that. Swami doesn't like that. And one of those things is, Swami doesn't like students to read novels. Okay, that's like a given. Swami would very often tell, pitchy novels, you know, mad novels. Boys keep reading, very bad. It gives you bad thoughts. Don't read novels. So there was this one boy who always kept away from novels because he said Swami never likes novels. So he kind of had an argument with his friends and, you know, he took the high moral ground. He said, I never read novels, you know. I follow Swami's words. And the other boys told him, because you have never read novels, you don't know what an addiction they are. Because if you read novels, you'll know how difficult it is to put one down. So then they throw a challenge to him. Okay, you read a novel and then you stop reading novels. Let's see. So they give him one book. If novels are not to be read, among novels, what should definitely not be read is this novel. And the whole hostel knows that this is a novel which nobody should read. They give him such a novel. They say, okay, read this novel. So this boy starts reading the novel. And he didn't realize it was such a gripping novel. He could not put the book down. It was such a page turner. He was going on and on and on. From morning to evening he was reading this. And finally it was darshan time. And he was not able to put the novel down. It was so very interesting. So what to do? Silently hides it in his mat and takes it to mandir. And he says, alright, when nobody is watching, I'll sit and read. And he's a bhajan singer, so goes inside the bhajan hall. And he's silently sitting there and reading the novel. He is so lost in reading that novel, he's not able to take his eyes off the book. And when he's so engrossed, Swami comes out. You know, Swami is giving interviews, interviews are over, Swami comes out. And Swami is walking around, this boy doesn't realize because he's so lost in the novel. And Swami comes straight up to him, stands in front of him, and this boy is reading like this. You know? And Swami gives him a pat on his head. Hintra, what are you reading? And he's like, you know, caught red-handed. Can't say what he's reading, can't deny because Swami is looking at the novel. And before he could react, Swami bends down and picks up the book from him. And Swami doesn't read the book. Swami doesn't speak to him. Swami does not ask him anything. Swami just holds the book, puts it behind his hand, and starts talking to the boy next to him. Swami is not talking to this boy. The conversation has ended there. Swami starts talking to the boy next to him. And Swami is speaking and speaking and speaking. And this boy's heart is beating and he doesn't know what is going to happen. Then Swami speaks to this boy. Swami speaks to the next boy. Swami speaks to this boy. And in the whole process, Swami turns 360 degrees, holding the novel behind him, for the whole bhajan hall to see what novel this boy was reading. And everybody is looking at that book and saying, oh my God, he's been reading this novel. Oh, look at the audacity. And you know, he's first of all reading a novel and look at the novel he's reading. And everybody is like, he's finished. You know, it's time to pack his bags. He's going to be out of the hostel. And Swami does a 360 degrees, everybody looking at the novel. And this boy is waiting. You know, when is the meteorite shower going to start? But Swami silently turns to him after finishing that full round. Slowly bends down, puts the novel back in his lap. And walks away. And the sweet thing is, when Swami picked the novel, Swami picked it in a way by which he put the finger in the book, in the page where he was reading, and he had bookmarked that page, and he returned it in the same page. And nothing, Swami just walked away. And he said, my God, close shave, live another day. I just managed, my God, I could have, you know, anything could have happened. Such a lucky day for me, and he's so happy, he's relieved, goes back to the hostel, and he vows, never again I'm going to touch this novel again, and you know, one shy too close. Let's never do this again. Couple of days later, this boy is sitting in the portico. He's having a pocket book. This time, it's Lalita Sahasranamam. Okay? He's sitting there, sincerely reading. Swami again comes down, walks up there. From there, Swami, from a distance, Swami has Intra, what are you reading? Him Chadutnau. This boy, 100 meter sprint, runs to Swami and Swami, Lalita Sahasranamam. You know, this time he's been caught with the right book. Like, you know, this time he's lucky. He dashes to Swami and slides on his knees and he says, Swami, Lalita Sahasranamam. Oh, Lalita Sahasranamam. Swami looks at the book and blesses it. And very sweetly Swami says, I know what book you're reading today. I know what book you read that day. Swami says, I know what book you're reading now. I also know what book you read that day. And walks away. Aren't we all jokes for Swami? I mean, what more are we? When we know very well what Swami is, when we know very well whose presence we are. But nevertheless, it used to be said in Bhagavatam that Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, would every now and then have some brilliant and amazing experiences. She sees the cosmos in Krishna's mouth. She has that experience where no rope is able to tie him, however long it is. And every time she realizes that this is not an ordinary kid. He is not my mere son who is born of, you know, flesh and blood. He is something superior. But in the Bhagavatam it is said that every time that knowledge is taken away from her, so that she can enjoy that Lord Krishna as her own son. Maybe that's how many times we are made to forget that whose presence we are living in. The other place where Swami's wit would very, very beautifully come out is when there is a difficult situation and Swami has to manage that situation. You know, very, very embarrassing situations would come. Sometimes Swami's students would embarrass Swami. Sometimes some devotee would embarrass Swami. And Swami had to save the situation. And that's when Swami's wit and knack would come in. One Swami was taking some students to Kodaikanal. Swami's car was in ahead. And boys were behind Swami in a bus. Somewhere near this town of Karur, when Swami was driving, in one particular village, just beside the road, they had set up a huge pandal, you know, about 600-700 people. One devotee had apparently gathered a lot of them, saying that let's have Swami's darshan. But the beauty of this gathering was, none of them were coming running up to the road or trying to stop Swami's car or trying to, you know, come and stand by the roadside. All of them were sitting very, very in a very disciplined manner under that pandal and doing bhajans. You know, typically there was this one devotee who was leading this group who really nailed it. He knew that only discipline can kind of attract Swami. So he knew that this is the best way to attract Swami. So none of them were actually running for darshan. They were all sitting and doing bhajans. 600, 700 of them, disciplined manner. So the moment Swami saw that, Swami said, stop. Swami said, see that? So how beautifully they're all sitting and doing bhajans. Come, let's go. So an unscheduled stopover. Swami stops, all the boys come down. And Swami goes there, and Swami is so delighted. Everybody is sitting, and so beautifully they're all singing bhajans. And when Swami goes in there, Swami realizes that a stage has been erected, a throne has been put for Swami, mic has been there. So they've kept it absolutely ready for anything. So Swami is very happy. Swami walks up to the stage, and Swami calls this devotee. Swami is very pleased with him. And this devotee says, Swami, can I speak a few words? And Swami is here, if Swami can sit. Swami says, Chala Manchidi Bangaru, start, speak. And this man starts speaking. And by the time more devotees gather and all of them are sitting, and this devotee goes on and on and on and on and on. He's so emotional and he's so gripped by that moment's ecstasy, he's not able to stop. He's going on and on. 15 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes. And in typical way, Swami says, bus, bus, bus. But this devotee is a devotee who speaks only Tamil. He didn't understand what is bus. So he continues on and on. And Swami's schedule is getting delayed. And more than that, more devotees have gathered. And so now they're all sitting in the sun. It's about, you know, sometime in the afternoon. The sun is beating down. It's summer time. And this devotee is not stopping. He's so emotional. He's going on and on. Swami is looking around and Swami doesn't know how to stop him. Then suddenly Swami gets up and waves his hand. So the whole audience is aghast. And, you know, this person also is turning and Swami is doing something. What does Swami do? Materializes a huge sugar candy. Swami says, come here, stuffs it in his mouth. Swami says, Chala Santosham, Bangaru, take Namaskar. How do you stop a person who is speaking non-stop? Gag his mouth, right? And that's exactly what Swami did. Took a huge sugar candy and put it in his mouth. He would not be able to speak for the next 15 minutes. And Swami said, Bangaru, take Namaskar, take Namaskar. Bends down before he could lift his head, Swami has walked off. And that evening, Swami is sitting in Kodaikanal with boys. Swami says, what to do? Because that devotee was talking with so much devotion, I couldn't be rude. But what to do? Devotees were sitting in the sun. They were all getting, troubled. It was such inconvenience for them. So what to do? Had to do something like this. Some other time, once Swami called one devotee. This was very common. Swami would always like to show off, in quotes. Swami would come and say, see this boy. Swami would call a student and say, how old do you think he is? So they'll say, Swami, he looks like a schoolboy. Swami say, schoolboy, he's doing PhD. And Swami will feel very happy. My students look so young. Or Swami would call somebody and say, MSc, double MSc, double PhD. So Swami would always like to show his students and say that, see, they're very special. So one day Swami called one devotee. This devotee was a North Indian devotee. And Swami was explaining to her, my boys, they know everything. Vedams, stotrams, all mantrams, Sanskrit, everything they'll speak. They know everything. So this devotee was very pleased and he said, yes, Swami. Then Swami picks up one boy. Swami says, hey boy, chant Vedam. And the rest of the students are, Swami, wrong choice, because this boy doesn't know Vedam. That boy doesn't know Vedam. And Swami has picked him up and Swami says, chant Vedam. And that boy is sweating. How can you tell Swami that, Swami, I don't know Vedam? Because just now, right in front of him, Swami has told this devotee, look at my boys, all of them can chant Vedam. And Swami says, chant. So this guy had no clue, but you keep hearing so much of Vedam, at least something gets in. So he starts, Om Gananam Tva Ganapati Bam. Instead of Ganapati Gum Havamave, he says Ganapati Bam. And the whole block is like, oh my god. And Swami is very casually smiling. Swami says, Andaru chant cheyandi. Swami knows that, this boy is messing it up. Swami looks at everybody and says, all of you chant. And the whole block starts. What does this devotee know? So that devotee is thinking that Swami picked up one student. And now Swami is saying that, see, all my students can chant. But only Swami knew, and only those boys knew, that this boy didn't know. But even what apparently looked like it backfired, right? That's the beauty. Swami could have picked up the boy who is the most proficient in Vedas and the most proficient in the language of Sanskrit. Why did he have to go and pick up that boy who had to, make such a fool of himself? The beauty was that boy felt so bad that he embarrassed Swami. And needless to say, by the next week, he had learned that mantra. And needless to say, by the end of that semester, he was also one of the students who started chanting Vedas. So Swami never picks up the wrong student, never picks up the wrong example. In everything, Swami is looking at the person in front of him. In everybody is involved, isn't it? Maybe I'll end with this one last experience. There was this devotee who used to come from the city of Bombay. Every year, without fail, he would come for Swami's, for the Seva Dal Seva. And he would do the Seva and he would go back only after taking Swami's permission. So after the Seva is over, he would come and sit along with devotees. And when Swami would come for Darshan, he would tell Swami, can I leave? Do I have your permission? Sometimes the permission would be instant. Sometimes Swami would say, wait. Take a few days and then go. So it so happened that many, many times he would go back after his leave period was over. So he became like a defaulter in his office, because every time he would take 1 week off, but he would come only after 10 days. That's a discipline, indiscipline which cannot be put up with. So one fine day the management called him and they said, this is a strict warning for you. The next time you do this, we'll have to take some action. You cannot keep doing this. So he says, alright, you can't explain to them why he is late every time. So the next time he comes, does Seva is over. Again sits amongst the devotees. Swami comes up to him and he says, Swami, Seva is over, can I leave? Swami says, Ledu, undipo. Stay back for some time. So this devotee says, alright. 2 days later, again he gets up, he says, Swami, my leave is getting over, can I leave? Swami says, no, stay back. So again, 2 more days, he stays back. Then after a day or two, again he asks, and Swami gets upset this time. Malli malli endu kadukutunnavu, why you go on, you keep asking me again and again? Why can't you wait till I tell you to leave? So this devotee says, alright Swami, next time, whenever you tell me to leave, I'll leave. I'm not going to ask you again. So again, 3 or 4 days passes, a week or so maybe. Swami comes up to him and Swami says, you're still here. You're not yet left. Seva is over. He says, yes Swami, I'm just waiting for Swami's permission. And Swami asks me to leave, I'll leave. So Swami says, alright, go now. So this devotee goes back to his work, mentally prepared for whatever is going to be the consequence. He goes into the office and he decides that let me go and confront my boss and apologize directly, until waiting for him to be, some action to be taken. So he goes to the work and goes to his boss. And the boss is busy with some work and he looks up, looks at him. He says, ah, you've come. Yeah, just get me the file which I gave you yesterday. So he said, sir, I'm coming today after a leave of 10 days. And this boss looks at him, what's wrong with you? You were here yesterday, I was having a discussion with you for 1 hour. And you were here for the past 1 week. Go and get the file I gave you yesterday. And this boy, this man didn't know what was happening. He went back, sat in his place, and then it dawned upon him that 1 week that Swami did not permit him to come back, Swami had come in his form and Swami was doing the work in his office. And he was so thrilled. He was so thrilled by this experience. You know, how do you feel? Swami has taken your form and Swami is doing your work and you are sitting there and enjoying Swami's darshan. So the next time, Swami calls him for an interview and he's so filled with gratitude and he falls at Swami's feet and, you know, his eyes full of tears. He looks at Swami and says, Swami, this is what happened. I'm so profoundly grateful to you. And in Hindi, he kind of, you know, not able to express the awe with which he is looking at Swami. He says, Swami, aap kya cheez hai Swami? You know, in Hindi you say, what are you? You know, when you ask somebody, I mean, what kind of a person are you? Like, he says in Hindi, Swami, aap kya cheez hai Swami? And Swami will not miss a chance. With a twinkle in his eyes, Swami says, main cheez badi hoon, mast mast. Swami says, main cheez badi hoon, mast mast. The first lines of a very, very popular Bollywood song. For those of you who didn't get the joke. And really, how do you describe this Lord? How do you describe this Lord? Where do you start laughing? Where do you start crying? Where can the laughter end? Where can the tears start? Because living with Swami is like that. You know, you don't know when you're crying out of emotion, when you're laughing, when you're crying. Because that's how Swami has filled our lives. And it's so easy to recollect incidents like this of Swami. At the same time, it's so very difficult. I don't know if I'm making myself clear. So, thank you, Swami, for giving all of us this opportunity to over and over and over again think of you. With much gratitude, I offer this talk at Swami's lotus feet. I thank all of you for your very, very patient and kind listening.